Well, are you ready for the word this morning? All right, well, let's pray once more. Prepare our hearts. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that it speaks truth to us, Lord, life-changing truth. I pray, Father, that today that we will hear the word of the Lord, Father, that we might forever be changed by it and live to your honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, this morning, we are going to finish our series, It Works. This is a series just about the big truths of the Word of God. We could take 1,000 truths from the Word of God and talk about how it works. But in this series, we've just focused on the big things and things that, well, you could preach a series on each one of these subjects. But we're talking about things that really work, truths that really will work in our life. Our faith and our walk with the Lord ought to be something that's real, something that's life-changing, something that really makes a difference in this world, something that actually works, not just pretend, not just religion, not just pretty, but real, workable, something that actually makes an impact in our life and in the world around us. That's what's really important, is making a difference, that lives are changed. Lives are changed for eternity. That's what really matters. Now, the message today is probably the simplest and the most obvious of the messages that I've preached on this series. It's one that we're all familiar with, and yet it seems to be a great challenge to really live this out. And so, as we hear the word of the Lord this morning, I want to encourage you to hear it, well, like you haven't heard it before. To not just say, yeah, we know, but instead to say, we got to get this. Because, church, I'm telling you, we got to get this. And here it is. Love works. How obvious is that? When you read the Bible and you see how God moves and how He works, listen, love works. If we want to see changed lives, I'm telling you, love works. By the way, if you don't know that this is what Grace Church is about, it's about fulfilling the Great Commission. It's about reaching people, making disciples. And let me tell you how you do that. It's got to be done with love. Love is what works. Love is what changes lives. Love is how God changed our lives. The law couldn't save us. Listen, fear of judgment couldn't save us, but love did. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was love. That's why He gave His Son. It's love that made the way for us to be forgiven and to have a relationship with God. There's no other way. It was the love way. That's how He did it. It's love that made the way for us to be forgiven, to be healed, to be set free, to be made whole. I'm telling you, love is what accomplished all of those things. 1 John 4:9-10 says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the payment for our sins, paid the price for our sins. It was love that redeemed us, so that we could have a relationship with God. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost because He loves us. Listen, sinners were drawn to Him because He loved them. Now, you know, the religious people thought that He wasn't religious enough. Sometimes religious people are still that way. They think that others need to be more religious. Just remember, they didn't think Jesus was religious enough. They tried to corner Him into playing by their rules. They brought to him a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they tried to get him to condemn her, but he wouldn't do it because he didn't come to judge. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us because he loves us. And I just want you to know that love is what works. That's why he laid down his life. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said. And he laid down his life for us because he loves us. I'm telling you, love works. His love is so great. Now, when you say, you know, God loves you, everybody knows that. I remember the night that I asked Jesus to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. An elderly Christian woman was talking to me about the Lord, and I kept telling her about my problems, and she kept saying, Mark, the Lord loves you. And I was like, I know, but I didn't get it. And I'm just telling you that when you get it, when you understand how much God loves you, oh, what a difference it makes in your life. It changes things. And there's some of you right now, you're thinking, yeah, I know God loves me, but I'm telling you, you're not really getting it. Because if you really know how much God loves you, it changes you. We need to know just how much he loves us. Paul prayed that the church might have a greater revelation of it, to know just how big the love of God is, that it will reach us no matter how far we stray. His love is more than enough for whatever problem, whatever challenge we face. His love is bigger than our biggest battles. His love will outlast our trials and our tests. Romans chapter 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I'm telling you, the love of God is bigger. It's more powerful than whatever obstacle, whatever problem you have. Nothing can separate you from that love. Love works. Love works because love gets rid of fear. You know, there's a lot of fear in this world. Most people just operate in fear all the time. It's how the news networks make their living. They just propagate fear all the time. But what's really strange is how much, even in the body of Christ, people just live by fear instead of living by faith. They're afraid of this and afraid of this, and what are we going to do? The sky's going to fall. Everything's just going from bad to worse. And did you know about this? Did you know about that? And they're always talking about all the bad news, and they're always afraid. Although if you said, you know, you're not supposed to be afraid, they'd say, oh, I'm not afraid, but, yeah, you are. I'm telling you, love will drive out the fears. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Why is it that we're living in a time when people can't even seem to get by without some kind of medication or drinking or some kind of something to calm themselves? And just, I'm telling you, there's so much fear in this world. It's torment. But perfect love cast out fear. Let me tell you, love works. It gets rid of the fear. It says, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. See, when we got fear in our life, it's just telling us that we don't really know. We hadn't really gotten it yet, how much he loves us. Love gets rid of fear. It gets rid of the fear of judgment. It gets rid of the fear of not being good enough. Let me tell you, if you're afraid you're not good enough, well, let me just settle that for you. You're not. You can't be. But because of the love of God and the price that he paid because he loves you, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Your sins have been taken away. He loves you. Fear will get rid of that old works mentality of feeling like you can't ever live up to the standard. I'm just telling you, fear or love will get rid of that fear. It'll get rid of that religious kind of fear. You know, a lot of people know God loves them in their head, but they just haven't gotten it down into their heart, and that fear is still in their life. But when we really know how much He loves us, I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. You don't have to be afraid of sickness anymore when you know how much He loves you. I am the Lord who heals you. That's what He said. By the stripes on Jesus' back, we were healed. I'm just telling you, you don't have to be afraid when you know how much He loves you. You don't have to be afraid of sickness. How much fear there is of sickness in this world. They play on it all the time. You start watching the TV and they have these commercials and talking about this symptom and that symptom, and you start going, wait, I think I might have that. You start reading on the internet, and before you know it, you've turned into a hypochondriac. I'm just telling you, there's so much fear in this world. When you know how much He loves you, you don't have to be afraid of lack. How am I ever going to pay my bills? How am I going to get by? You need to know that God loves you. He's going to take care of you. He says that He takes care of the sparrows. Are you not much more valuable than sparrows? Then don't worry. Amen. You don't have to fear. I'm telling you, when you really know how much God loves you, it changes everything. Love works. You wouldn't be afraid of an attack of Satan if you knew how much your Heavenly Father loves you. And fear is what keeps people from really believing the promises of God and receiving what God wants to do in their life. But if you just know how much He loves you, it will drive out the fears. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Listen, it's not just some pretty thing to say, you know, oh, we're children of God. No, we are born of Him. We are His sons and daughters. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. We really are His sons and daughters. That's how much He loves us. Wow. Love works. Love works in your relationship with God. Now, we read 1 John 4:18 a minute ago. 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. See, and that's where it all starts. It all comes from God. God is love. It starts with Him loving us and reaching out to us and making a way for us to know Him, drawing us to Himself by His loving kindness. I'm telling you that love is what works in your relationship with God. You know what the most important thing is? The great command, Jesus says, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Let me tell you what's really important in our faith, in Christianity. It's that you love God. That's the most important thing. When you get that right, everything else falls into place. In fact, Jesus says to love God and love your neighbors yourself are the two great commands in all of the law. Everything else in the book hangs on those two. In other words, if you get those two right, you get everything else right. But if you don't get those right, you don't get anything right. You miss the main thing. And I just want you to understand that if you want a real relationship with God, that you need to focus on loving God. See, when we really love Him, we delight to come and to worship Him. Let me tell you, the problem in our culture is not that people are too busy to come to worship. It's that they don't love God enough. Because when you love God enough, see, when you love Him first in your life, then He takes precedence over everything else. But I, as a pastor, I don't want to browbeat people and beg people to come to worship. Because that's not the real issue. The real issue is not, hey, you need to come worship. The real issue is that they need a relationship with God where they love God so much that it doesn't matter whether they're singing my song or not. I worship because I love Him. Not because something stirred me or somebody hyped me up. And I want you to understand now, in our worship team, you know, as they lead worship, they're going to encourage you to worship. You know, they're going to exhort you scripturally to worship. But we ought to come with a heart that we're ready to worship. So much preaching and teaching on giving. And we need to learn, we need to be instructed from the Word of God on giving. But I'm just telling you that if people don't want to give, the problem is not that they hadn't been taught enough about giving. The real problem is that they don't love God enough. Because when you really love Him, you don't want to hold back. You enjoy your giving. Oh, how we need people to serve in the body of Christ. Everybody has a place. Everybody's supposed to be doing something. You need to get on board and help work. And all of that is true. But let me tell you, the real issue of people don't want to serve God and work for God and do anything for God, I'm just telling you, the real issue is they don't love Him enough. And the Pharisees browbeat and guilted people all the time. And so much of the time, preachers today fall into that same pattern of trying to guilt people and browbeat people into doing things for God or into serving or to giving or to witnessing. When the real problem is that we need to love God more. We need to focus on our relationship with God. That I love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. Because when we love Him that way, then we enjoy all of those things. Those things are not just religious duty to us any longer. They're not just something that, you know, we're supposed to do, but they're something that we delight to do and we enjoy doing those things. I'm telling you, love works in your relationship with God. We can talk about all the things that you're supposed to do and you're not supposed to do. But if we don't get the love part, that just makes us religious. John 14 and 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." And there it is, Jesus tells us very plainly that the key is that we love Him. You see, we can talk about obedience. We can talk about how we should do this, and the Bible says we're supposed to do that. And certainly we need to understand the commands of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. But listen, the key is that you love Him, because if you love Him, then you'll obey Him. Then you'll do what He says. And when people don't want to obey God, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. When they know what's right and they know what's wrong and they know what the Bible says, but instead of doing what it says, they justify and they rationalize and they make excuses and they exempt themselves from the Word of God. The real issue is that they don't love Him enough. Love works. And I'm just telling you, you need to focus on this in your relationship with God, that you love Him. And you want to learn to love Him more. And why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. And the more you understand the depth of his love for you, the more that it will cause you to want to love him. And it'll show up in your life in that you obey him and you serve him and you work for him, you witness for him, you worship him. Love works. Love works in bringing real change in our life. It will change how we worship and how we serve. It'll change how we treat other people. Now, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells a story to illustrate loving your neighbor. And, well, this is how the story begins. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, a certain lawyer, and this isn't a lawyer like what we think of lawyers today. This was someone who knew the law of God. He knew the word of God. But a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Now, notice the religious man, he knows the answer already. He knows what's right. He knows that the answer is to love God and to love your neighbor. But he doesn't do it. Verse 29 says, he wanting to justify himself said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? See, a lot of the religious people of the time, they didn't have a problem with loving their family, their friends, their own. They didn't have a problem with loving those who love them. But Jesus tells us if we only love those who love us, what credit is that? He says even the heathens do that. No, what's life-changing is when we love the unlovable, when we love those that we're never going to be loved back by, when we love those who can't bless us and help us, when we love the unlovable, well, that's when we're acting like our Heavenly Father. And I'm just telling you, Jesus challenges all of us in this story. It's the story of what we call the Good Samaritan. He goes on and he tells that story about how a man was traveling and he was robbed and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And along comes a priest and a Levite. And the Bible says they passed by on the other side. And that's what most Christians do today. They pass by on the other side. I'm telling you, love works. Love will change you. When you really love people, you can't just pass by on the other side. But along comes a Samaritan. He was the least likely. He was not even, you know, the priest and the Levite, these were supposed to be the spiritual people. Well, they were the religious people, but not the spiritual people. When it all comes down to it, the Samaritan was the spiritual one because he's the one who fulfilled the command of God to love your neighbor as yourself. And he doesn't just pass by. Instead, he stops and he helps the man. He bandages up his wounds and he takes him and he pays for whatever it cost for his care. And you got to understand this, that love will cause you to give of yourself. It will cause you to turn aside from your daily routine. It will cause you to give of your own time and energy and even money. It will change you. When you really love people, love works. I'm talking about how it changes you right now. It'll change you. It'll change how you treat people. And when Jesus finishes the story, he asks the lawyer, he says, so which of these do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And he says to us, go and do likewise. Now, is he telling us that if we see somebody on the side of the road that we should stop and help them? Well, maybe. But I hope that you understand that this is just an example to show us that our neighbor is the person that we pass by every day who has needs in their life. That person, maybe you just need to go across the street to your actual neighbor, maybe a coworker at work that needs somebody to show them the love of God. Maybe you need to go down to the hospital. But I'm telling you this, we need to be changed by the love of God in our heart. Let it move us to do the work of God, to show people the love of God. Love works. You know, when it changes you, it works in reaching people. See, if you want to reach people, and what you're doing isn't working. Remember, this is about what works. There's a whole lot of reaching that ain't working, church. If what we're doing isn't working, then we need to do what works. And what works? Love works. And we just read a fantastic story of the Good Samaritan and talked about that story. Well, I want you to know that man who was helped, it reached him. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of hurting people in this world that love can reach. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Love isn't just something you feel for people. It's not just being sympathetic and wishing that their problems weren't so bad. No, love is something that you do. He says, go and do likewise. And I think sometimes we mean to love others. We intend to. We even think we do. But when it comes down to it, we're not really living it out. And so the Bible says in 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. It's got to be with action, something that we're actually doing, not just words. Ephesians 5:1-2. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about how love works. Listen to this. It says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus is always our perfect example that he gave himself for us. And the challenge here is that we follow him, that we imitate him, that we live a life of love. I like the way the King James and the New King James translate that. It says, walk. You got to walk it out. You got to walk in love. It's not just something you feel, but it's something that you walk out in your life. And the way that you treat people. And I'm telling you, that's how we reach people with the gospel. Jesus loves the thieves like Zacchaeus. He loves the demon-possessed like Mary Magdalene, whom he cast out 7 devils. Think about it. She was the first person to see the risen Lord. Somebody that had 7 devils cast out. He loves them. Listen, I've met people with just 1 devil. And they're hard to deal with. 7 devils. Can you imagine what she must have been like? But he loved her. He loved that woman who came to wash his feet with her tears. And they said, she's known to be a sinner. She was a notorious sinner, but Jesus loved her. I'm just telling you, he reached people by loving them. Why is it we think we can do it another way? He's our example. Now, I want you to know this. And some of you, you may find this discouraging, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You can't reach everybody. You need to know that. Now, some of you think I'm being faithless right now. Well, let me just tell you, Jesus didn't reach everybody. A rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and the Bible specifically said this. It said, and Jesus loved him. But the man went away sad because of his great wealth. Now, we don't know what impact the love of Jesus might have had on this man later. We don't know if maybe at some point he did turn back to God. We don't really know that. But I just want you to understand that if we're going to reach anybody, it's going to be because we love them. Love is what works. They have a free will, and you can't change that. You can't take that away from them. But just understand this. If you are going to reach somebody, if you are going to help somebody, it's going to be because you love them. There is no other way. When you leave the love out, it just doesn't work. Love works in building the church. It's Jesus' church, and he's building it with love. Ephesians 4:16, I'm going to read this from the NIV. It's just a little simpler and clearer. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want you to see this. When we love and we work, we grow. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. Now, that's not our motivation for loving. It's something that happens as we love. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is supposed to naturally grow. We serve and we love, and God blesses and it grows. Anybody like cake? Anybody not allowed to have cake? Yeah, some of us don't get cake. You ever had cake when somebody forgot to put the sugar in? Oh my. I see you back there, Phyllis. You made a lot of great cakes. Have you ever forgot to put the sugar in? Nope. It's a good thing you haven't. Because nobody would want to eat that cake. Everybody would just say, yuck. Let me tell you what Christianity is when you leave the love out. Yuck. It is dead religion when you leave the love out. See, love is the most important ingredient. Now, I know some of you don't like me saying that, but let me just tell you again. This is the great command, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the most important thing. And if you leave that out, it just stinks. And I have to tell you, church, what I see happening in our culture right now. I'm not talking about the pagans. I'm not talking about the Muslims. I'm not talking about unbelievers and atheists. What I see happening in the body of Christ in America, in our culture right now, is this anger and animosity towards unbelievers. And we're not going to reach them that way. That's the way the Pharisees were. And Jesus comes along and instead he loves those very people. And I'm just telling you, I want to remind you today that he loves the unlovable. He loves the drug dealer and the prostitute and the Muslim. Listen, he loves the thief. He loves them all. And he wants to change their life. And this is what will reach people and change their life. Love. That's what works. You can do everything else right. You can have all the other ingredients. But if you leave the love out, then we're just a bunch of religious Pharisees. And I want you to understand that this is how Jesus builds his church. It's because It's by us loving one another. Here's his commandment. John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. This is supposed to be the earmark. This is supposed to be the one thing that tells people that we're Jesus followers. See, you can do all of the religious stuff. You can have all of the religious stuff. And what that tells people is that you're religious. But when you love people, when you love one another the way that Jesus loved us, I'm just telling you, then they know that we are his followers. That's the main thing. Oh, church, love works. This is my commandment. Somehow or another, we start thinking that other things are more important, but they're not. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. See, it doesn't matter how good you talk, what a gifted communicator you are, or how much you speak in tongues, because if you're not doing it because of love, then you're just a bunch of noise. He goes on and he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. See, we get so impressed with all of those gifts, but it doesn't matter how great our gifts, our talents, our abilities, if we leave the love out, it's nothing. It's nothing. This is the most important thing. This is what works. Church, if we as a church are known for anything, let it be this, that we love people. We need to turn it up. I'm just telling you, we need to turn it up around here. This is a loving church. It's one of the things I love about Grace Church is it's a loving group of people. But I'm just telling you, how we need to turn it up. Where when people come here, when they think of Grace Church, they think of people that love one another. That's how they'll know that we really are his disciples. See, we can have our theology all together. I've known of people who were so big on doctrine, you know, that was the thing. And they go around arguing with people about doctrine. Well, I want to tell you that if you're not loving people, your doctrine is wrong. Because this is the most important thing, is that you love God and you love people. So we need to get past all of those other things and realize if we just love people, all of that will take care of itself. All of that will fall into place. Well, that's what he said. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. 1 Corinthians 13, 3, he goes on and he says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. See, you can even give your money. You can even lay down your life. But if the motivation was not because you love people, it's not going to matter in eternity. Love works because love is how God changes lives. And if he's going to use us, let me tell you, it's going to be because the love of God is flowing through us. If you ever wonder how you can show somebody the love of God, just remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. He says, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. You treat other people the way you would want to be treated. You want to know how you can love somebody? Well, just treat them the way you would want to be treated. You see, if there's somebody that you know that's struggling, somebody you know that's hurting, going through a hard time, like that man who was on the side of the road, what would you want somebody to do for you if you were them? And I'm just telling you, church, we got to get this. Love works. We got to go out of our way. We got to be willing to do something different than what we're doing if we want to reach that person. There's a lot of Christians passing by on the other side of the road and they're going, yep, you shouldn't have got yourself into that mess. See? That's what you get. Well, you know what? They deserve it. But I just want to tell you that if we want to reach people, the answer is that we love them enough to be willing to do something different, that we go out of our way to help them, to treat them the way we would want to be treated if we were in their place. Now, all of us know somebody that needs change. It may be somebody in your family, maybe some friend of yours. It may be a coworker. All of us know people that need to change. And let me tell you how you can help affect that. Love works. A lot of the time we try other methods. We preach at them. We browbeat them. We say, I told you so. You deserve that. I'm just telling you, what really works is if you love people. Treating them the way you want to be treated. Now, I want to just clarify one thing about love this morning. I'm not talking about the world's kind of mushy-gushy feeling kind of love. I'm talking about something that's real. I'm talking about the God kind of love that will cause you to give of yourself. And I want you to understand, you know, the world says, well, if you love me, you would do what I want. That's not Bible love. Because Bible love is, as Jesus said, it's to treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were them. Let me just tell you a story to illustrate. I knew a man who told me that his son started taking drugs and he ended up being arrested and put in jail several times for drugs. And he would go and he would get his son out of jail. And then he realized that he was enabling his son to continue using drugs, because every time he would get arrested and put in jail, because he loved him, he wanted to help him, so he would go and he would get him out of jail. But he finally realized that he wasn't really helping him. He's just helping him with his habit, helping him to continue to do what he did. And so finally, it was very, very difficult, very hard for him. But finally, when his son was arrested and put in jail, he went to him and he said, I'm going to get you out today. And this will be the last time that I get you out, because I'm not going to help you continue to use drugs. So this will be the last time that I will come to the jail and get you out. That was love, because after that day, his son never did drugs again. And it may not always work like that, but what I'm trying to say to you is I just want to clarify to you that love is not going to the place where you do what other people want. It is sharing the love of God with them. It is helping them to hear and receive the truth. It's helping them to get free. It's helping them to find a relationship with God. It's helping them to know that God will heal them. It's helping them to find peace. Oh, church, all around us every day, there are people that need what we have. How can we possibly communicate it to them? Love works. I really believe the Lord just put this in my heart earlier that, you know, when our influence tries to overstep our love for people, it turns them against us. In other words, when we try to preach at people or straighten people out, and we have it, and the love is not stronger and greater than the preaching and the straightening, all we do is turn them against us. But when they know that we really love them, when they know that it is the love of God in us that's trying to help them, then the door is open so that they can receive. And I'm just telling you, church, if we're going to reach anybody, if we're going to change anybody, if we're going to make a difference in this world, love works. Let's stand together and pray. Father, I just thank you for the love of God, the love that you have shown us, that you have bestowed, lavished, poured out upon us to call us your sons and your daughters. And I thank you, Father. Oh, Father, for the Holy Spirit that sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. Lord, your word says that we love because you first loved. And I pray this morning, Father, that there would just be a new stirring in us. Oh, Father, that where our hearts maybe have grown cold, Lord, maybe we're just not pursuing after you like we once did. I pray, Father, that our hearts would just be changed. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do a work in us this morning, and that, Lord, by your great power, you would just draw us to yourself. Father, I pray that you would put in us a fresh love for others. Father, that we'll not just continue on down our road, but Lord, we would turn aside, help someone along the way. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in this church as we love one another. Oh, Father, may it be something that is so real here, tangible, the love of God in our midst. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for our prayer partners to come this morning. First of all, I know there are some of you here that you've been struggling in your life and you got problems, and you could talk about your problems, but let me tell you something. The love of God is bigger than your problems. He cares about you and he loves you. And if you've come to the service this morning with problems, with a need in your life, I encourage you to come for prayer this morning. God is big enough. He's big enough to get you through. He's big enough to turn situations around. He's big enough to carry you on. Listen, he loves you that much. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart that somehow or another, however it happened, but you realize that you've left your first love, that he is no longer first place in your life, and you've allowed other things to crowd out your love for God, I just want to encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Maybe it's things that have happened and things that other people have done, but you allowed that to separate you from that first love. I would encourage you to come for prayer this morning and just be restored. Maybe you realize this morning that you need the love of God to flow through you to reach others, and you just want prayer this morning. Whatever your need might be, you're welcome to come. I'm going to dismiss the church, but if you need prayer, don't be in a hurry. You let God have his way. You let him work in your heart and life this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. If you need prayer, you come.